begins with Avraham Avinu going to buy the field of Hebron, the field of Maras HaMachpelah. And after he buys Maras HaMachpelah, he sends Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. Now, the choice of Eliezer to be the emissary is curious, because Rashi explains Eliezer was very reluctant to do it. Eliezer had a daughter. He wanted Yitzchak to marry his daughter. He didn't want to really find some other woman for Yitzchak. Avram sends him, but he didn't want to go. But he went. So the question is, why does Avram choose as an emissary someone who didn't want to do it? Wouldn't it be better to choose as an emissary someone who wholeheartedly wants to do it? So he suggested that perhaps the key to the answer is that Avraham makes Eliezer swear to find a member of his family for Yitzchak and not to bring a woman from Eliezer's family. So he said maybe the idea of an oath will also shed light on why Eliezer is the person chosen. He said that he finds the concept of an oath to be a very strange concept. An oath really means that someone is invoking God's name. Saying, I'm telling you the truth, and I swear by God that this is the truth. So where do you have an oath? You have an oath about really grubby matters. I claim you owe me 100 coins, and you say, no, Zev, I don't owe you 100, I owe you 80. So then the Torah says, well, you admitted to some of it, but you deny the rest. You have to swear that you don't owe me the other 20. So that's what God's name was given to the world for. God's name should be invoked in this fight between one guy who's certainly lying and one guy who's saying the truth. A question of theft. Determine who's lying, who's saying the truth, who's right, who's wrong. That's what you have an oath for. This is God's name. Wouldn't it be better to say, listen, we don't want to say God's name in vain. You know, swallow the loss for the sake of keeping God's name pure. So you'll get 80 instead of the 100 that you were owed. You know, this is God's name. It's like you can desecrate God's name if the oath was a false oath. So he then quoted the famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says that when God wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people, the angel said, no, God, leave the Torah with us in heaven. So God said to Moshe, Moshe, hold on to my throne of glory and argue with the angels. Respond to their request. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what does it say in the Torah? Hashem said, it says, Lo sisa Hashem Hashem Elokech Lashav. Don't swear in God's name in vain. So Moshe says, do you angels have any business? Do you have any fights? You think you're owed 100 and you really owe 20? You don't have business. You don't have sales and loans and claims. The Torah is not for you. So what's this argument? Is Moshe saying, you know, you're above business. You don't have business. So you don't get the Torah. I mean, the Torah wants to deal with lowly affairs. So Rav Kook, and this is what many commentators say, explains the Gemara to mean the following. Moshe is saying there is something that the angels are missing. They don't have business. They're not involved in the lowly affairs because they're not strong enough to be involved in the lowly affairs. Only a really strong person can get into the lowly affairs and even in the lowly affairs serve God. The real mission, what God wants, is that his light, which is so strong, should penetrate even into the darkest areas. He doesn't want his light to be left only in the spiritual, angelic realm. He wants his light to be felt in business, in the lowly affairs. So in fact, that's why he gave oaths that business should be kosher business. That when a person is involved in money, God's name is invoked over the money. That it's kosher money, that he's entitled to the money. If it wouldn't be that way, if the law would be that a person who has a claim and the other person is only admitting to part of it, he's supposed to forgive because you don't want to invoke God's name in vain, that would be the desecration of God's name. What, that people should lose money that they don't deserve to lose? That someone should get away with theft? the sanctification of God's name is that God's name is brought all the way down to the realm of the physical in order to sanctify the physical, to sanctify the natural. And that's what Judaism is all about. Judaism is about sanctifying the natural realm and showing that God's light reaches even to the darkest corners. And maybe that's why Avraham chose Eliezer, because Eliezer is a Canaanite, and the Canaanites are a nation that are cursed. They're slaves. They're not the blessed nation. But that the Canaanite should be part of the Jewish drama of finding a wife for Yitzchak, because the idea of Judaism is to reach into the physical realm and to transform the physical realm, not to be stuck only in the level of spirituality, but to bring the spirituality all the way into the physical realm and to elevate the physical realm. And that's, you know, perhaps connected to the whole name Chevron, from the word chibur, attachment, to attach the lowly, the physical, with the highest. Ephron, the person who owned Maras HaMachpelah, his name is Afar, dust. He's lowly, he's physical, but the point of the message is that the religious light has to reach even into the physical realm and transform the physical realm and sanctify the physical realm and elevate the physical realm and guide us in the physical realm. That was the message that he was trying to convey on Friday night, which is obviously, you know, connected to a major theme of this week's parsha. This week's parsha is all about the struggle of Yaakov versus Esav. Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And, you know, there's an interesting dynamic about Yaakov. Yaakov's personality is truth. Pasuk says, Titein emes li Yaakov, ascribe truth to Yaakov. And yet Yaakov doesn't seem to act truthfully. When he hears from his mother that Yitzchak wants to give a blessing to Esav, he goes and he misrepresents himself. He pretends to be Esav. He puts on the goat skins. He goes in quickly with the goat meat, pretending that it's wild game that was captured. He gives it to his father as if he's Esav. And his father says, his father suspects him. He says, well, come here, let me touch you. He touches him. He says, it doesn't sound like Esav. He says, well, but the hands are the hands of Esav. Hayadayim yidei kol kol Yaakov, hayadayim yidei Esav. It's the sound of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. How could Yaakov, who's a personality of emes, of truth, be engaged in that which doesn't seem to be very emes? In fact, even the story that I mentioned before of Yaakov purchasing the Bechorah, it's not so clear that that was so emes, because here Esav comes, he's very hungry, Yaakov is cooking the lentil soup, and Yaakov says to him, okay, you want the lentil soup, I'll give it to you, but you have to sell to me the rights of being firstborn. Esav said, what does it mean to be firstborn? Yaakov said, well, firstborn means you get to serve God, you do the avodah, you bring karbanos, you have to daven a lot. Esav said, lama zeli b'choro, that's not for me, no, I want to live in the field, I don't want that. And then later, when Yaakov gets the blessings and Yitzchak is confronted by Esav, and Esav says, well, he fooled me twice. He took my Bechorah, now he took my Bracha. So one second, Esav didn't realize that when he sold the Bechorah, when he sold the responsibilities of serving God, he also sold the privileges of getting the Bracha, which is the same letters as the word Bechorah. So it also doesn't seem 100% so honest. So Yaakov, who's the Mr. Honesty, is actually doing things that don't seem so honest. And then next week's parasha, he goes out to Lavan, and Lavan switches the deal on him 100 times. But Yaakov also, you know, he fights with Lavan. He has signals that he made up with Rachel to try to deceive Lavan. He tells Lavan, all I want is the You know, the spotted sheep that are born, seemingly an unusual thing. You know, if a white flock is something going to have spotted sheep, it's unusual, that's all I want. And meanwhile, he takes the sheep and he puts in front of them sticks and he, you know, peels off the bark to make them spotted and seemingly manipulating things in ways that Lavan didn't know he could do. Maybe Lavan would never have agreed to the deal had he known. I don't understand. Yaakov was Mr. Truth, and yet he seems to be acting in the ways that aren't the ways of truth. But the truth is, Rabbi Mordechai Zilber points out, that's true about all the Avos. All the Avos have a character trait, and yet heaven pushes them to act in the ways that are the opposite of their character trait. Let's take Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu's character trait is love, kindness. Heaven pushes him to do circumcision. That's not a kind act, to cut off his skin, cut off the skin of his 13-year-old son, cut off the skin of an 8-day-old son, cut off the skin of himself when he's, you know, 99 years old. That's a very tough act. Heaven pushes Avram to throw out Yishmael and Hagar. That's a very tough act. Avram goes to do the Akedah, and God's response is, Atah Yadati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, that you fear God, not now I know that you love God. Apparently, when Avram did the Akedah, he wasn't inspired with enormous love of God, as the Pasuk says. Vayaras Hamakom Erachok, he saw the place from a distance, and the Zohar says it means he saw God from a distance. He felt alienated, he felt disconnected. God was far. And even though God was far, he went ahead to do it because he had fear of God. So Avram is a display of fear of God, not love of God, during this, you know, very, very special moment. But I thought he's Mr. Love. You look at Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the personality of fear. And yet Yitzchak, who's Mr. Fear, also displays a lot of love, is pushed to do love. That's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe pointed out in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, Eile todos Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram olidus Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi says, once it says Yitzchak is the son of Avram, why does it repeat Avram gave birth to Yitzchak? So Rashi says that there were people who said Yitzchak's not from Avram because Yitzchak doesn't have, Avram didn't have kids for so long. It must be that Yitzchak is the son of Avimelech, that when that Sarah was kidnapped by Avimelech, Avimelech raped her and she had a child, Yitzchak. So what did God do? For these scoffers, he turned the face of Avraham to be like, I'm sorry, he made the face of Yitzchak like the face of Avraham, and everybody saw clearly this is Avraham's son. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked, but everybody's, and most children look like their fathers. What's the miracle? He made the face of Yitzchak look like Avraham. He's his son. Isn't that normal for the son to look like the father? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave a very beautiful answer. He said the person's externals are a reflection of a person's internals. Avraham's character internally was one of kindness. Yitzchak's character internally was one of toughness, discipline, judgment, strength. So because they were so different in their inner character, their faces should be very different. One should be a very loving, embracing, welcoming face. And the other should be a very austere, disciplined, tough, strong, harsh face. They should look different. But God made the face of Yitzchak look like the face of Avram. What that really means is that even though Yitzchak's personality began as a personality of judgment, God put into it also the quality of chesed, the quality of love. He's the grandfather who's giving brachos, who's davening, who's, you know, finding wells, and giving water to people. Yitzchak has the qualities of Avraham, but even though that's seemingly the opposite qualities of his character. So how do we resolve that? That the very nature of our patriarchs is to go against their nature. But maybe it all fits into the same basic theme. The goal of Judaism and the goal of holiness is really that holiness reaches everywhere. If a person doesn't have the malleability to do whatever it is that God asks of me, sometimes to be strong, sometimes to be soft, then he's not really serving God. If he only can be soft, at the end of the day, he's stuck in himself. He's stuck in his personality. So he can't push himself to go against his personality. The real holiness is that the angelic person can also be the materialistic person, that the man of truth can use dishonesty if that's what God wants. If the prophetess told him to be dishonest, Rivka told him to be dishonest, so he has to listen to the prophetess, he has to listen to the word of prophecy. The man of kindness can be the man who's also tough. Avram is the man of kindness, but he can do Yiras Hashem if that's what's called for. Yitzchak, who's the man of toughness, can be the man of great kindness if that's what's called for. Because that's real service of God. Real service of God means I'm willing to take whatever God tells me to do. It's not what I like. It's not what works with me. It's not my personality. It's God's commands. Where he tells me to go, that's where I go. That type of flexibility to say, I am servant of God, and I do what's good for his cause and not what works with me, that's the real holiness. And that's why our patriarchs exemplified that. Yaakov was a person who was studious, who was quiet, who was honest, but for God's sake, he becomes conniving, he becomes somewhat deceitful, he does things that are against his nature, things that are tough, he jumps and takes advantage and elbows Esav out of the way, because that's what God wants. And God's light, for it to be a godly light, reaches everywhere. If it's only a godly light in a certain dimension, it's not a godly light. It's something else. It's a certain, you know, comfort. There's a comfort zone of a certain level of behavior. But to really be religious light, God's light, it reaches all levels. And that's the theme that we're coming up to with Hanukkah. Hanukkah has an amazing balance. On the one hand, Hanukkah is all about a beginning, right? The very word Chanukah means inauguration, to inaugurate the temple. There were 3 years that the temple wasn't used, and when the Hasmoneans came back, they re-inaugurated the temple, and they brought, you know, light and holiness back to the temple. So on the one hand, it's connected to beginnings. On the other hand, it's connected to the end. It's the last of the mitzvahs. It's the mitzvah that comes at the end of the second temple period. It's the last mitzvah that we got. It's all about the end. The Kabbalists explain there are 620 letters in the Ten Commandments to correspond to the 613 mitzvahs that Moshe gave us at Sinai from God, and the seven rabbinic mitzvahs, which is a total of 620. The seventh of the seven rabbinic mitzvahs is lighting Chanukah candles. On the one hand, Chanukah candles is the first. On the other hand, it's the last. Why should it be both the first and the last? Because when you get to the end, you get also to the beginning. The whole idea of Judaism is that there has to be this commitment to serving God. And the commitment to serving God means I'm not locked into a particular, you know, way or a particular attribute. It's whatever God wants. I'm flexible to do whatever he's telling me to do at this moment. And that's what our patriarchs were. So on the one hand, they were the people of particular attributes. Avram is Mr. Kindness, but Mr. Kindness also sometimes is Mr. Toughness. And Yaakov is Mr. Truth and Mr. Studious. And sometimes Mr. Truth and Mr. Studious is deceitful, and he's a fighter, and he's tough. Because real Judaism is that God's light penetrates all over. God is not to be limited in a particular way. If we limit God in a particular way, we say, well, he's only in this, then it's not godliness anymore. It's our own projection of what works for us, trying to say that's where we're limiting God. That's the whole idea that the Mekubalim have called the shattering of the vessels, the Shviras HaKelim, that when God first created the world, he created vessels, and each vessel had a name, like kindness and strength, and the vessels were supposed to get light, and each vessel wanted more and more of the light. It was trying to hold all the light to itself, and since it couldn't, it exploded. What does it mean? A vessel tries to hold the light to itself. It can't, so it explodes. The idea that a vessel tries to hold the light to itself is that the people of kindness were saying the only way to serve God is by kindness. If you're tough, you're not serving God, because God is loving. No, the people of kindness aren't serving God then. They happen to be people who like kindness, so they try to redefine God as being only kindness. But God sometimes is very harsh. When he punishes the enemies, he's very tough. The real service of God is to be surrendering, is to surrender to God and to be flexible, to say, whatever God tells me to do, that's the service of God. That's real godliness. If we try to hold God's light into a particular vessel, the vessel will explode. It won't be godliness anymore. It's not going to work to say God is only kindness. God is more than just kindness. God is many, many attributes. And that's true about all of our patriarchs, that they had tremendous versatility. Yaakov is the man of truth who can also be the man of deceit. And that's the theme, that Avram Avinu's light has to reach even into Eliezer. That godliness is not going to be limited. It's not going to be limited only to heaven. It's not limited only to the angels. Real Jewish godliness is all over. It's in the physical. It's in the material. All over you can have godliness. And that was one of the themes that emerged. You know, it's to me the most inspiring moment of the Shabbos was at the end of the Shabbos at Shalosh Shudas. The colonel in charge of the, I guess, division, which is in charge of Chevron, came. And he came with two other officers who worked for him. And one of them was clearly a very religious guy. And as they were singing the Zmiros, he did Nefesh, you know, these heartfelt songs, and his eyes were closed, and he was swaying in real, real devotion. And then he would stop, and he would listen to his radio, and then continue. And to me, that was like the biggest Kiddush Hashem ever. Because here, you can't listen to a radio on Shabbos, but you're allowed to listen to a radio on Shabbos to save lives. That's this flexibility. You know, he's listening to the radio, and he's, you know, immersed in the devotion of Shabbos. That is the devotion of Shabbos. The devotion of Shabbos is to realize that when it comes to serving God, sometimes the violation of Shabbos is the service of God. That is the service of God. That's the greatness of the patriarchs. The greatness of the patriarchs is that level of being so profoundly connected to God that the person of truth will lie when God says lie. Because it's all about God. It's not about his character. The man of Shabbos who can really sway for Shabbos knows how to talk on the radio on Shabbos to save a life on Shabbos, because that's what God wants. That's the real, real loyalty. That's what the patriarchs were all about. That's what Hanukkah is all about. It's the last, but at the same time as being the last, it's also the first. That we have to combine the last with the first and to serve God in all areas with full commitment. And that's, you know, a theme that can emerge from this week's parsha also.